This message is from the one from last Wednesday. It's called Love Code. Some people may have gotten this and tried to play it and it didn't play. So this is the redo to what wasn't playing. But I just want to pray real fast and then I want to just try to get through it. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just, first of all, give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for what you're doing this day and in our times. The days in life for people seem one way or another, but I just thank you that you're good at all times, that your goodness doesn't change because our circumstances is this way or that way. But you love us, you keep us, you protect us, and I just really want to give you some glory and credit for that. And I just say thank you, and that you're even with me on this recording, and I just say have your way. Let this thing just be full of you, no matter what. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. So, with this recording, I just want to quickly just kind of get into some things from Tuesday. And what I want to say is that some things that I learned is that God, he really, really cares for us, and nothing will ever change that. It's like that love is so intense that what people do is they put a limit on what it is, but Romans 8 goes into nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it's just my belief, based on experience and even based on the Word of God, that at least when I judge how people react when it comes to God, is just totally different than what it should be. God and his love is just tremendous. It's like a lot of people don't have that revelation about his love to do anything. You know, a lot of people are caught up in, you know, God being angry and those different types of things. And it's just, that's kind of a wrong focus. You know, somebody messes up, people want to put the Bible in people's faces and show them how wrong they are. And if you've ever paid attention, and I think this, let me say this way, how you understand God and his word is how you receive him. And it's very important to understand what you understand, because how you see things, the word see in Hebrew, it has quite a few definitions to it when I looked it up before. But one of the main definitions that was toward the front, depending on the context, of course, when you use the word see, is to understand. And so how you see things is how you understand them. You know, it's like saying, do you get it? You know, it's like, do you see it? You know, do you understand it? You know, and so the thing is that how you understand things is very important, right? So God can't even rightfully give you wisdom for you to obey if you don't understand it. Understanding things is very important. And so the thing is that what you understand about the Bible will show the life that you are to live. And if it's misunderstood, it actually can lead to, hear me, friend, a very sad life, because there's so much about the Bible that lots don't understand. And our job as Christians is to bear fruit. And if we're to bear fruit, but we don't bear it in the right way, we won't be productive in the measures that God is calling for us to. For instance, I don't know if you know, but joy is very important. But if you don't have joy, then there's something that you're not rightly understanding about God and his word. Like, It's a normal thing to have joy and to rejoice in God and His Holy Spirit from day to day. But the thing is, if you don't understand what the word is saying about that, then your circumstances will, overtake you, and you'll be, I've been here. I was a up and down Christian, because my situations was one way, and where joy was supposed to be was seemed like it was far from me. And so it's just important to keep that smile. But I want to say again, it's important to understand what you understand and to base it off the word and to look at the fruit, or another word for fruit that you can say is the activity in your life, like pinpointing what does the Bible say about this emotion and why I'm down, and then like that. But if you get to a point where, like I have, and I'm telling you things that I've learned by experience, so I'm definitely, friend, not trying to wave a finger or anything like that at you as you hear this, but I just want to be a friend to you. I want to be a brother in Christ to you and just share with you things that I've learned. Like joy is really important, but understanding what God is really saying about how you live your life, the inside of you, your soul, what's in it is very important. And what we do a lot of times, what I've done for sure, is I take in a lot of information from people that I love and like and respect, and it just becomes important to kind of, with the Holy Spirit, just kind of, and the Word of God, to just kind of analyze, judging yourself, evaluating yourself, seeing where just these different things come from. It's very important to do a self-evaluation, because if you don't, then the things that could be changed won't, because you don't recognize it, because you're living life as normal, even if it's sad for you. So it's just very important to change, what you're thinking, and so that your outcome can change, right? So if you don't change how you're thinking and how you're viewing things, which is really so that the okay, so here's the thing, your thinking comes from things that you've taken in as information, things that you call true, right? So it's important to ask God to highlight in your heart what needs to change so that there can be a right evaluation pertaining to the love of God, so that, or just pertaining to His word, so that things in you can change. Because friend, the thing is this. Here's what I've learned about God, and this is just the honest truth. If you really want to know God, like really, really, you want to get closer to Him, the most likely thing for Him to do, one of the top things that He will most likely do, is blow your theology about Him out of the water. Because there's so many things that God has said, and people have taken it a certain way. And I'm just kind of reminded of, I believe it's Judges chapter 13, and it's about the day of Samson. And it says that an angel appeared, and I can't remember if it was the mother or the father who first encountered him, but the angel appeared and gave his instructions. I want to say it was the father, but he gave, he was saying what was going to happen. You're going to have a son. He's going to do this. This is how it works. Da, 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 right? So then I can't remember if it was the mother or the father. We'll just say the parent. One parent just was the parent who had the encounter was like, wait a minute. This is so incredible. Stay right here. I'll be right back. Please don't go nowhere. I'm going to get the other parent. We'll be. And so they took off, right? And so and so they bring them back, but the parent is freaked out because they had this belief, like, I've seen God, and I think we're just going. The man was saying that. I remember, because the wife was like, well, Wait a minute. You've seen God and now you're about to die. That doesn't make sense. Why would God kill you if he wants to give you instructions on what's next? You know, like, so that doesn't make sense. In other words, his theology was about, you know, remember, by this time, Moses definitely existed. And, you know, it had been quite some time since Moses hadn't been on the scene anymore. And so I believe, in my opinion, that's where that belief came from. Because remember, God told Moses, if you see my face, you shall surely die, right? Like, you can't see my face and live, basically. And so I believe that's where that saying came from. His theology was saying to him, hey, if you, because you've seen my face, you're about to be out of here, right? So there's just these beliefs that set in that kept him really just from not even really being able to take in what God was actually saying. And it wasn't even the Lord, it was an angel, at least according to what I remember reading. It was an angel. And so, you know, but obviously what he saw wasn't from this world. And it was probably holy, like it probably had a certain, I'm imagining a certain atmosphere where he could just pick up, okay, this is definitely heavenly. So the thing is that that really messed with him, and his theology had him messed up, right? So God had to blow his theology out of the water so that he could even receive, you know, what he's, you know, saying to him. And that's just really important to understand what you understand. The wife came and told him and just pretty much set him straight, like, you know, God was trying to kill you. Why would he give you this message about, you know, what's next? And so, I mean, you have to evaluate what is it that God is trying to teach you. And you'll know what God is trying to teach you because it's often something that's always coming up over and over and over, but you know, your theology says, oh no, that can't be true. And yes, I understand, you know, you got to be aware of deception and certain things aren't right and things like that, but there's a prayerful way to consider it and to see what the advantage would be and to see what fruit it would carry. And you're able to just privately, just even within yourself, just pray prayers like, you know, God, Father, what are you trying to tell me? And you know, what is it about, what's in my beliefs that's blocking me from getting closer to you? You know, you ask that kind of a prayer, and then you ask him to teach you how to not limit him, but to just receive what he's personally saying to you. And the things that God says and does, it won't bring confusion. It'll be in love, it'll bring peace, and it'll just turn some things around in your life. And you'll be able to receive more things that you weren't before. And it's important that when you go through this, if it turns into a process, to just be patient. You know, you really have grace. The word of God reveals in Titus chapter 2, it says that grace, it reveals that grace is a trainer. Another version says that grace is a teacher. Grace trains you, grace teaches you. You see? So it's very important to give in to where God. So you just gotta keep. Here's the thing. I said all of that to say in terms of when it comes to God's love, basically. So it's important to understand what you understand, because God is trying to give us love every single day, friend. Every single day. He's trying to love us. He's trying to just be himself with us. He's trying to just really love us. You see, the thing is that with God, my personal belief is that love conquers all on the inside. You see, because we're more than conquerors through him, Jesus, who loves us. Right? So on the inside, if you're not more than a conqueror, like if it's not, see, here's the thing what God does. God takes what he puts in you and he makes it to manifest or to surface. And so he allows things to come into your life to bring it out. So the thing is, you know, everything that's in Christ is in us, but he has to do things to make it be manifest, to come to surface, on the inside. And he has to teach your faith to be able to receive it and just operate out of it. You see, because if you're a person who's, if he says you're more than a conqueror through him that loves you, but you go around in life like you're more than defeated through somebody else who hates you, you know, the opposite, then that's not Christ. That's not his fruit. That's not his love. So you're not being who you're supposed to be. You're more than a conqueror, but you're being defeated. Like, no, like that doesn't make sense. That doesn't add up, right? So it's just very important to, again, understand what you're understanding. So, when it comes to his love, the Bible says a lot, actually, and reveals a lot, even in the Old Testament, about his love, but especially in the New. But when you don't have, let me say it this way, because you don't may not have that revelation of how his love works, when you do get love, you'll always be talking about tough love because of whatever different beliefs you've been taught. And so when you talk about love, a lot of times what people do is they start going into a lot of things that have them to believe, like, you know, like you're going to get a gift like that. And, you know, that's the case. It's just that God's love is so powerful. You see, God's grace is really just a version of his love, is what it boils down to. You see, you can't, grace is, we all know, grace is unmerited, undeserved favor, but so is the love of God. In other words, you don't deserve him, but he's decided to put himself in the middle of your circumstance and to empower you to overcome all things that once defeated you before Christ. Especially and namely that being sin or sin related things. God himself has decided to take his righteousness, his Christ, his Jesus, and to put him inside of you to overcome all things. And the way that that best operates is out of love, because 1 John says that God himself is love, right? So if God is love and his love is flowing you in the sense of his anointed one, his Christ, and he lives on the inside of you, that means that you're empowered to overcome. So if sin is taking over your life, then you have to learn how to operate out of his Christ. If you are depressed all the time, you have to learn how to operate out of his Christ. You see, what we call a messed up situation is actually God often putting you, or I shouldn't say put, allowing you to be in the middle of a situation so that you can manifest the power of his Christ. Well, if it's sin, he's giving you a chance to manifest, let the righteousness that he gives, he's allowing you to have the opportunity to take faith and to just operate out of that righteousness. But of course, this thing is about you still depending on him for everything. It's but as you do that, as you learn that lesson, it becomes second nature to always depend on him, right? But when you do that, it's you representing him in the middle of a situation, and that's what all things inside the Christian faith, right? So when it comes to love, the first thing that you need is you need to be able to receive his love, right? So how would he make it manifest? It's not just by putting you in the circumstance. You have to learn from God yourself. We need not How does that scripture go? 1 John, we need not that man teach us, for we because we have an unction from the Holy One. I might have said it backwards, but either way, those are still the words. You don't need a teacher when it comes to the things of God, because basically he's giving you an anointing or an unction to learn from the Holy One, right? Now, that doesn't mean don't go to church, but your pastor or your teacher or your leader or even the people you follow on social media or wherever isn't going to be there 24/7 always, right? So, you can pull on God and ask him questions, and there is an anointing from him, from the Holy One, to teach you so that you can begin to get things and have victory. This thing is about him. It's about this is a part of your relationship and your benefits and your rights before him, your access to him, and that he's given you. You know what I mean? Like, that was how Jesus lived. He didn't go necessarily consult with Peter and the other 11 all the time to, get what he needed, but he was constantly with his father, and he was constantly moving with the Holy Spirit in just how he operated, right? That's the unction from the Holy One. He's learning, the revelation comes from the Holy Spirit, the Word, especially him being the Word, that the Holy Spirit's able to just highlight things, and when he speaks, it just an awesomeness comes out of his mouth. And it's the same with you. It's just an awesomeness is ready to come out of your mouth, but when you learn from the Holy One, it becomes not just awesome, but it's amazing. So when it comes to his love, friend, it's like you getting to learn from his love. God will, what he does when he teaches, he puts real life instances in your life and lets you go through them so that you see his point. You see, so that you can get it and so that you can understand it, because he's constantly teaching us. He's constantly teaching us. Remember John 4, the woman at the well, and Jesus said that the Father is seeking the worshiper, those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. But the key thing that I want to highlight there is that the Father was seeking. The Father, he said, was looking. He's searching. You see? So the thing is what is God searching for right now? It's not just a worshiper, but he's searching for to give the next download to. What could he train you to this time that would bear fruit in your life and your neighbor's and your neighbor's neighbor? What could he tell you about Christ that could just empower all around you, where everybody is now has new peace, where everybody has a new empowerment to just flow in life? What could he search for in you to pull out? Everybody has something. Everybody has two things inside of them that's a Christian believer. They have Christ, and they have the thing or the rarity that he gave them when they became born again, and he wants to use that. There are unique abilities and giftings that he gave you that is a part of your makeup, and there's no need to change that. So the thing is when you learn his love, is just incredible. It doesn't become about sin. It doesn't become about a get out of jail free card, because when you learn about his love will lead you into all righteousness. You won't want to, his love will lead you to where you won't want to offend anything. You see, if you ever looked at Galatians 5, it talks about walking by the Holy Spirit. And it talks about, toward the end of the chapter, basically that, because there's a lot that's said about chapter 5, but we don't have time to get into all the specifics. But when you talk about toward the end, the key to fulfilling the law was basically walking in the Holy Spirit. If you don't know about the law, simply put, in really simple language without all the theological words, just simply put, the Message Bible refers to the law in that context as the rule keeping system. You know, basically, if you break one, you offend all. So you could say, you know, well, at least I'm not a murderer, but its job, the law, was to search you and to find where you're guilty at, basically. So you say, well, you're bragging about not being a murderer, but when it searches you out, hey, you're guilty of being a liar. Well, no, I'm not a liar. I just told a little white lie. Yeah, but you're still guilty. And now you're guilty of everything that's wrote in here. And now that you're guilty of everything that's in here, now you have to have the punishment. You know what I mean? Like, so the law really just simply put, showed your need for a savior. So the thing is in Galatians, it's showing you that if you walk by the Holy Spirit, if you walk with him, you'll keep from offending the law. So here's the thing. It takes God to do God. I'll say that again. It takes God to do God. So because it takes God to do God, then when you do a task that God has given under this new covenant and under Christ, it becomes an ability. Because let's start here. Jesus said that God is a spirit. So if God is a spirit, then that means that God is supernatural. And so that means that anything that comes out of God's mouth is supernatural. And so that means that anything that God gives you or does for you, even if it looks simple or is done simply, it still came out of a supernatural ability. And so that's why it's important to learn what God is saying, because it was impossible for anybody to do the law. Like, even David messed up and he was after God's own heart. But Jesus comes and he just goes right through it. Like, and so that's what everybody says. When I was growing up, there ain't nobody ever perfect but Jesus, right? But here's the thing. When you live by what Jesus lived by, which is the Holy Spirit, it doesn't become about right or wrong. It becomes about staying in him. So what's important is your focus. Where is your focus? What are you understanding? And is what you're understanding, is it messing you up? Is it putting the wrong thoughts and the wrong pictures in your heart? Because whatever's in you creates pictures in your mind. It creates pictures inside of you. So do you have the wrong picture about things? Because the things that you picture are also giving you an understanding. And if you're understanding incorrectly, right? If you're understanding incorrectly, then it messes up everything that is supposed to be a certain way. Everything that's, so you have to change what you're understanding. So here's the thing, Galatians 5, about the 22nd verse, which is still a lot more toward the end. The thing about Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the fruits with an S, but the fruit without an S. Fruit, singular, not plural. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it goes love, joy, peace, like that all the way through. The first, what I hold to be true is love is the fruit. And the next one after that to the end, the next eight, are the manifestations of that love and what's in it. And so it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, he has a work called love that he manifests in you. And here's what's incredible. I like what the Bible says about, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. It refers to the fruit when it comes to the Holy Spirit. It says that it's his work, which his presence accomplishes within. In the Amplified, the AMPC, the Amplified Classic Edition. It says that the fruit is his presence, which is his work, which his presence accomplishes within. So his, so the fruit of the Holy Spirit is about his presence. And if it's about his presence, then it's definitely supernatural. But what happens is a lot of times people do it logically and naturally, and they're constantly failing. They're constantly talking about to God in their prayer, you know, I've turned the other cheek. I've, you know, done this, and now I'm tired and I'm frustrated and I want to lash out. And, you know, that's understandable. But get this, the verses before that is talking about human nature. Human nature is what we call the flesh. But when you flow in Holy Spirit and his love, that thing begins to subdue human nature. You see, so the thing is that love is a thing when you follow it correctly. It's a supernatural ability that lays its life down. It lays what's carnal down. It lays, it puts to rest the old man. Here's a picture of what Jesus said in, I can't remember if it was the book of John or not, but he said it like this. There is no greater love than this, that you lay your life down for a friend. So the context there is not just love, that there's no greater love. The greatest love is laying your life down, right? So when it comes to love, in God's eyes, love does it, love's work, it lays down the carnal, fleshly human nature. And this is literally because this is what he did for us. So there's no greater love to express because, you know, he laid his life down for us. And with it, he stayed the course. And with it, he actually died. And with it, it says that the Holy Spirit basically, you know, rose him back up. And what is the key fruit in the Holy Spirit? And what I just said, love. So you can say that love rose Jesus from the grave. So there's no greater love. So the root to the flesh, to conquering the flesh, is his love, right? So that love provides joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? All the way to self-control. And so the thing is understanding God is about understanding his love. Love does multiple things. It's not, here's the mistake that people have. Love, they consider it as an emotion, right? But love's not an emotion. Love is an ability. Love is a power. And ultimately, love is a person. You know, again, 1 John says that God is love. Right. So God doesn't have love. God is love. God doesn't have some measures of love. God is the very source of love. So when you tell somebody that you love them from the place of his love, you're not saying I emotion you. You're saying I God you when it comes to love. When you say, oh, I love you, it's not, when you examine it, and if you could put another word in place of love pertaining to that person, it's not I emotion you, because that's what it is for a lot of people. It's I God you, because it becomes unconditional. See, agape love is supernatural. It's no matter what. It's at all times. And when you read 1 Corinthians 13, that's a love that it's actually not just the love that you flow out of. It's two things in context. It's God's love and it's the love that he gave you. If you reread those, the first eight verses, and you read in the Amplified version, a few times it'll say, but God's love in you is the context in which it states. So it's not something that, love's not something that you conjure up. Love is something that God gave you. And the more time you ask God for his love and you spend time in his presence and time in the prayer with him like that in fellowship, he begins to show you lots of acts of his love and even gives you empowerments and even impartations so that you can not just act on it, but even more importantly, receive it. Because to whom much is given, much is required. But if you don't recognize all the love that he's given you and that he's trying to give you, then your life is limited. You see, that love gives you joy, but it works at all times. So your joy shouldn't be conditional, because you see, there's different types of love. There's the phileo love, right? And then you have the agape love, and there's other ones, but I don't want to bring them all out. But the phileo love, they say, is like the word, like we use like I like you, like we're good, like we're okay. But that's a humanly level, you know. So when we say I love you, we're a lot of times referring to phileo, but we're trying to mean it in the place of agape, unconditional supernatural love, the kind that God gave us, right? Agape is the kind that he himself gave you and put in you, and you're just like walking it out. You know, you're standing, you learn to stand stout. Love is something that you have to learn. You have to learn it. It's a style. Love is a culture. You know, it's not just some emotion, because it's unconditional. So that means that when you don't feel like it, and when there's nothing there and everything is saying quit, and, you know, you just don't know your left from your right because so much is going on, phileo says, because it's humanly and carnal, is like, you know what, that's it, I've had it, you know, I can't. That's the word these days, I can't. But God's love doesn't say I can't. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 13 says that it never loses its, using Tramiel language, it never loses its intensity. It never weakens, it says. In other words, love, agape love, is constant. You know, it's like, it doesn't, people, see, people don't fall out of love. It reveals in Song of Solomon that love is sleep. So they, it's not that they're out of love, love falls asleep. But that's not agape, though. That's more, that love right there is actually, you can consider it like that, because it's a picture of Christ in us, that whole picture there. As a matter of fact, Song of Solomon 8 reveals this, that love is the vehement flame of the Lord, right? So, and it says that many waters can't quench it. You see, if you want to know God's love for you, it's like, it's so special. It's intense. And thing where you just can't do enough in a bad way to run him away. His love will wear you out. Where people saying, okay, that's it, God's fed up with you. No, he's not. Now he wants to give you some more. And I'm not talking about tough love. I'm talking about him being himself. Like, that love is a fire. It's a flame. And he comes and he burns up chaff in your life. He burns up the tares, you know, and so the wheat can grow. Like, he comes and he overwhelms you. It comes in just blazing. That love is what the Holy Spirit is made of. And he's in your life and he just wants to love you. He wants to give you such a love where it's just important to you to just come back again. You know, God's not angry with you. God's not upset with you. God's not bothered by you. God is waiting for you to receive the calling that I said last time, Exodus 19. He said, because it was about deliverance, he said it like this: I bore you on eagle's wings to bring you unto myself. Right? So if he's done that, and that's Old Testament, and that's really your calling, which is simply put to come closer. When you come closer, what do you think is going to happen? He already gave his best. He already punished his son in your place for your sin. Jesus took your place and he died as you. Right? So it takes love to do that, friend. It's not, if he did that, then God would be schizophrenic to be constantly angry at you for what you've done. You know, that love can bring a grievance, though. What does it say? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Why would he be grieved? Well, because he loves. What's something that could grieve the Holy Spirit? You not coming closer. You have a calling on your life that you got to just simply receive. He wants you. Intimacy and interaction is important to him. He wants you. His heart is longing for you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to walk down the street with you. He wants to visit you in dreams in ways that you can handle. He wants to visit you in the Word of God when you read. He wants to visit you when you sing. He wants to, when you talking to other people, he wants to show up. But if you're not aware here's the thing. A lot of people believe that he loves them, but he doesn't. They don't believe that he really loves them. But here's the thing: it's biblically engraved in what Jesus has as a believer. You have, and it says very clearly that the Father loves the Son. That's John 5. The Father loves the Son, right? So Romans 8, it says that we're sons, we're joint heirs with Christ. So guess what? The Father loves you. And yeah, I said Father loves the Son, but that's women too. He loves you. You're his kid. And an offense, if there were ever an offense or a thing that God could just be disappointed with, this kid is this: acting like an orphan, orphan thinking, orphan culture, as if you don't belong. You're not a slave anymore, friend. It doesn't matter if you got these mistakes where you're falling short. You're not a slave. You just simply, you turn your heart back. You turn your attention back. You're not so far away that you can't be rescued. God is constantly calling you. Let me share with you Exodus chapter 3. It says that Moses was walking and he saw this bush that was like on fire, and he wanted to know why it wasn't, you know, consumed. But what happened was, is he heard his voice, and then it said when he heard his voice, then he, no, when it said that, when it said that he turned to look, and it said that the Lord saw him, like when Moses looked, then it said that the Lord looked and called his name, and then that's when Moses interacted. He turned aside. So it's like, it's the moment when you catch on to what God is, when God is calling you. Soon as God noticed that Moses turned aside to look, his name got called. And so that's the thing. You're never too far away. God's trying to get your attention in some kind of way. The whole purpose is to give you that love. So say your name is William or Jacob. Then God is saying, hey, Jacob, like he's trying to do something to get your attention so that when you look, hey, Jacob, Because what was Exodus 3? It was pretty much an introduction. Hey, I'm God. This is how it is. You know, this is how it works. Right? He's just giving them the breakdown, and he tells them what he wants out of them. But if you've been, if it's the same, if you're a Christian, or maybe even you were a Christian, then it's the same thing. It's like God is trying to get your attention. Because it even says that he's married to the backslider, right? Like, he's trying to get your attention to bring you back in so that you can receive this love. This love is fascinating. It plays no game. It's not going to betray you. It's going to be at your side, right? Like, I can't tell you how many times Jesus really just loved on people who weren't up to par, doing everything right. It seemed like he was always drawn to the people who were messed up. I mean, you could name several flaws out of the people he picked to be his 12 leaders, his 12 apostles, like the people who caused the world to be turned upside down in their day. He picked messed up people. And it's not about being messed up as much as it is that messed up people will always want his love. They'll constantly need it and need him. And so me, friend, I'm not saying that I don't want to be like well put together, and I'm not saying that I'm not stable, but I constantly need him. I don't know about you. I long for more time. I can't go without it. I mean, it's a necessity. I can't speak for you, but I need him. I need his love. I need his time. I need his attention. And I'm going to constantly talk to him throughout my day. If I have to be a little bit off at work, if I have to go to the restroom for 5 minutes, if I got to take a walk on my lunch break, if I got to do whatever, if I got to sit on the stairwell just to have a private conversation with him, whatever it takes, I'm like, I'm going to do all these things I'm naming. If I got to talk to him in the car and turn the radio off, if I got to, when I eat breakfast, instead of making it thinking time, if I got to make it conversation time and just wait for him to show up, whatever it takes, I want to keep talking to him, and I want him to keep talking to me. I want him to love me and interact with me and those things. I need him. I want him. I body friend like him. And nor do I want to know anybody else that is claiming to be better or just as good. I want the authentic. You know, God's love is incredible. And Romans 8 is showing that the Holy Spirit, or sorry, Galatians 5 is showing that the Holy Spirit works by love with that, the manifestation of that fruit. And I just need, he's in you to give you and activate that supernatural ability. So guess what? To teach it to you, he has to be in your life to use it. He's going to apply it in your life, and you're going to realize you're so loved. And that's what's important, is that you realize that you are so loved. It's not about the mistakes. If you're making it an intention on your purpose and in your heart that I'm going to get this, that I'm going to get to know him, not get this right, he'll work that out. You want to get closer to him, because guess what? When you get closer to Jesus, guess what happens? Sin disappears. The desire for sin disappears. A lot of people say, well, no, you got to get all this stuff right. No. How about just a willing heart? How about a willing heart to even want to change? And just from that alone, he can start coming closer. You see, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he's an overpayment for your sin, past, present, and future. And no, I'm not telling you that sin is okay, right? But at the same time, that's not his number one focus. His number one focus is you. Because if you're able to receive this love, your life changes tremendously. It changes right away. If you can put down the things that's been harming you to receive this love, he won't let you down. You know, if you, let's just be honest, I'm gonna use real words, and you know, I'm not in front of you, so you don't have to be embarrassed. This is between you and God as you listen, right? So here's things that harm you. I'm gonna name some, and then to yourself, you judge if this is you or if this isn't you. Bitterness. My old pastor, I love what he said. Bitterness is when you keep rewinding the tape. You just, in your mind, you just keep going back to it. So bitterness, are you bitter? Right? I'm not here to judge you if you are, but this is a moment where you have to be honest with yourself. Is there some things you just can't let go of? Because it's just like, you know, bitterness, unforgiveness, low self-esteem, pride. Are you haughty? Do you backbite? Do you get jealous? Are you envious? Are you controlling or manipulative? Are you rebellious? Like, these things will block, because you won't be able to see or sense or entertain that love as he's trying to give it to you, right? These are enemies against you. It's not about you committing them. It's about you now in this moment just making a decision to just let it go. And then here's the thing. Everything's about the root I said earlier, right? So where did it come from? If you really, some people know right away, well, I feel like this about this person or this circumstance, and this got me just this certain way. Are you angry? Here's another one. Be honest. Are you angry with God? Does the religion inside of you or the things you were taught, did it teach you that you can't be angry with God? So you point and blame other people or things. I've done it. I was angry with God before personally, and I didn't realize that I was until he taught me, because my religion, it didn't allow me to be angry with God. You know, you could go to hell, and you know, who do you think you're talking to? And it's God. But God, he's got, you know, if I can say it this way, he's got his big boy pants on. He can take it. He'd rather you just be real, because he's been looking at it. Let's just say it, get it out, and go on. So are you angry at God? Like, life didn't turn out a certain way. It didn't, you know, you're angry with, you know, this person, Sally's got this life and I don't. I got the total opposite, and it's just been like the pits of hell on earth. Like, let's be honest. Like, is that how you feel? This can block that love. And so here's the thing. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to keep naming a few things, but we're going to pray. And what we're going to do is just release these things before God. And we're going to just let it go. And then we're going to pray a prayer to receive this love. Right? Because it's important, friend. Like, this is a moment right now to just be real. Like, God's not judging you in the sense of being angry. If he's judging you, it's so that you can get the things out, so that he can come in to these different areas of your life. It's not about you going to hell. He loves you. Hell, you weren't meant to roast. You weren't meant to burn. You weren't meant for that. So let's just go on and change any destinies that you think would put you in hell. Let's just change it. How about that? We can change it. And whoever is in the instances, you see, Romans 12 says, don't take a vengeance, for it's mine to avenge. In other words, if you just leave it in his hands, he'll take care of it. But you got to put down the fleshly nature. The flesh is referred to as this, the godless human nature, or the human nature without God. You see, it's godless to try to avenge. Forget about it. It's flesh. It's carnal. You can't do a good enough job anyway. You think you can, but God is a lot more creative than you. He's just good at the situation and will bring the best outcome for it. Let him be the judge, not you. Because you put yourself in a hard place, because what you reap what you sow. It says in Galatians 6, the next chapter, that God is not mocked. That which a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you're going to be the one to give to people what they deserve, guess what? Now you've placed yourself in a position where you got to get it back too. So you might as well just let it go. Let God handle it. Let that not be a part of you anymore. And to just receive and to just go. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to name a few more. Like, are you depressed all the time? Are you angry? Are you arrogant? Trying to think of one more. Are you unclean? Like pornography unclean? Like, is that you? Friend, that right now can change. And here's the thing. Here's what I want you to do. God, who's not judging you, who's all loving and kind, and whose kindness leads you to repentance, according to Romans 2, his kindness, his goodness leads you to repentance. If God weren't kind, if God weren't good, then why are you still alive breathing right now? Right? Like, God, he can't be that. You're living right now, so he can't be that bad. So I want you to think about it. And these different things, are you these things, right? Like, I want you to have a new message when this is done. Not trying to catch people in their sin, but tell people about God's goodness in such a way that as the Holy Spirit gives you words to speak, that goodness will lead them to repentance. That's Romans 2. He said, don't judge because you yourself do the same thing. Or another version of the Bible says it takes one to know one. You know all about my jealousy because inside of you, there's the ingredients for jealousy, and you're calling out what's actually in you is what that means. Then it goes down a few more verses and it says, or did you not know that God's kindness or his goodness leads man unto repentance? What is repentance? It's changing your view. It's changing how you are looking at things. And why is that important? Because if you change your view, you'll stop doing it. It's not just an I'm sorry, it's changing your view. If your view is different and you agree with the new view, like what I'm giving you about God and his love, then you'll stop doing it. And it's that simple. And there won't be nothing to feel some kind of way about because it's gone. Here's the thing. Right now, here's what I want you to do. We're going to do some praying. But before we do, I want you to do this. I want you to tell God that I have. Now, figure out what you have in your life. Is it any of the things that I named? Is there something else? What's burdening your heart? What is it? What's the root to your madness? I mean, you're a human being, so madness can be definitely a temptation. Madness can be something that we can let in us. So what is your madness? Is it the things I named? Is it jealousy? Is it anger? Is it like fornication? Like, is it pride? Is it, what is it? Put that out before God. Now, I'm giving you an opportunity to just kind of say it, like, God, I have this. Name it. Say it. Say, actually say it. Be honest. Say it. Whisper it. Yell it. Whatever you're comfortable with, but say it out of your mouth. You know, I got jealousy, God. I just, you know, maybe there's people in the room, but, you know, you can whisper it out. Say it. You know, vent it out. Because we're not made to hold all this mad stuff. We're made to be free. Human bodies made to be free of all this stuff. So if you say it, it's literally like opening the vent and just letting all the pressure in the air out. Say it. God, I have, you know, name it. Say it. Right? Now, here we go. Tell God that, say, God, before you, I repent for, now name whatever it is you named, I repent for those things, these things, and I just want to confess you that I need you. Come into my life. You've always loved me, but I've blocked you. But God, I want to receive you, your goodness, and all that you have for me. You've been loving me this whole time, but now I want to let you in. Open my eyes to see what you have for me. I receive all of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's another prayer. This is what I call a decree and declare type of thing. Really quick, decree is authoritative order. Declare is a bold announcement. Simply put. So words have power. I'm pretty sure you've heard. Death and life are in the tongue. According to Matthew, it says that we have the power to bind and to loose. So here's what I want you to say. Because those things are there, you've repented for them. Now we need to speak to those things, and we're going to just command them in the name of Jesus to go. That's simple, right? So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to name some things. And then if I didn't name what you're dealing with or what you said, I'm going to pause and then I'm going to give you a chance to follow the same pattern and start telling it to go. And if you miss a beat, don't freak out. You have this recording. You can rewind it. You can replay it later. Or you'll be able to rewind it as soon as you get it. Well, here we go. So, in Jesus' name, I speak to my anger and I loose you from my soul. I speak to my pride and I loose you from my soul. I speak to my fear of any kind and I loose you to go from my soul. In Jesus' name, I speak to my worries and I loose you and command you to go from my soul. You see the pattern now. Now follow it. Just simply say, in Jesus' name, I command, and you call it what it is, and you say, I command you to go from my soul. Memories of the past, I command you right now that aren't beneficial to Christ and what he's building in me, I command you to go from my soul. Torment, I command you to leave now and to leave my soul in Jesus' name. And you say it with all seriousness. You mean it. It will obey. So, friend, we've gotten that out. I just want you to be able to receive and yeah, I like to know if you got any feedbacks. You know, if this helped you in any way, please leave something in the comment section, or, you know, there's the Jesus Talk page on Facebook. You know, you could probably search that out. Jesus Talk, have a page. You can definitely leave comments there. I'll set up an email soon, where, you know, you can, leave comments there. But definitely I'd love to hear back from you. A lot of times people, with the last recording that they just downloaded, a lot of downloads came out of the first one. So you definitely have the ability to download this if you'd like. You definitely can play it on the website. Let's see. But yeah, so if you have any feedback, I really, really want to hear back from you. And I'm just really excited to hear from you and know what you're going to say and just see how this may have blessed you. If there's any testimonies or confirmations that this has given you, definitely would love to hear from you. And even if this message is you get this 20 years from now, I don't know. You know, you never know how God may use this and keep it and let somebody hear it. I would definitely love to hear about it. I definitely would love to try to read about it and just enjoy your time and just appreciate, you know, your efforts in speaking to me about whatever God has been doing with you through the recording. So, with that being said, I'm gonna just leave it there. I'm gonna pray one more quick prayer and then I'll just end it with an amen. So, Father, I just thank you for the listener here. I just ask you to just bless. We just speak blessing over them. We just ask you to just break over them anything that would be in their life that's just not from you. We just rebuke any messenger of Satan that would come to torment your people. And we just speak that your angels would come and just police the areas of their life and arrest any and every minister of darkness. In Jesus' name, we just speak life and not death, that they are the head, not the tail, that they are above and not beneath, and that they just that they just have a grace to receive any and anything that you're doing, and that you would just give them eyes to see you for where you really are. Let their day and their week just be blessed. Keep their families covered. Keep things in order from them, for them, God. Keep them from things that just are out of order and that would bring chaos. Let godly wisdom just now show up to the hearer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a nice day, friend.